Amen. That's some good music to get our hearts prepared for the service today. Welcome. Glad all of you are here. Just take your time. I'm starting a little early. So no rush. Just know that y'all are loved and appreciated in the house of the Lord, and we're here to encourage one another in our faith today. So let's pray. Father, we do want to encourage one another in our faith and our walk with you. And just we do know and are aware that many are going through some challenges and difficulties, and pray that your healing hand would be upon them and your arm of strength would guide them through these challenges. And just help each person, Lord, to come out victorious because of you. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the music today, that everything that's sung and everything that's spoken, Brother Joel and others that will be speaking today, that your name would be exalted and lifted up. Thankful for our guests that are here today, and pray that you'll bless them and help them, Lord, to truly worship you today. We do love you, and we're thankful for all that you've blessed us with. We're thankful for our church family, thankful for the way that you look after us and protect us and provide for our needs. Lord, we bless your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Savior truly has demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, he died in our place. We're grateful for that. We're grateful for our God, our Redeemer, and our Creator. The whole Bible is pointing to Jesus, from the first verse in Genesis to the last verse in Revelation. So let's worship the Lord as we sing. Hymn number 68, we praise thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator.
Before we have our welcome, the A part of our challenge or our building by faith team has had one of our members lead us in prayer and scripture reading as we think about building by faith. And today, Mark Sheffer is going to come and lead us as we think about building by faith today. Thank you, Mark.
This past week, Brother Paul had asked me to share scripture and pray for the church in support of our Building by Faith initiative. What came to my mind immediately is God's faithfulness to First Baptist through the years. Yeah. I thought back to the terrible morning of 1999 when our sanctuary burned, and I was on the Deacon Council at the time, and I remember how the Lord embraced us as His church and reassured us that He loved us and had plans to prosper us. The next few years saw many faithful leaders, indeed the entire church, step forward and embrace God's promise. I could name these leaders, but many of you know who they were, and many have gone on to be with the Lord. As a result of all this, our sanctuary and adjoining buildings were built back better than ever before. In 2001, I was transferred with my job, and then after retiring, my wife, Ursula, and I moved back almost 20 years later to find First Baptist Church continuing to thrive and prosper and actually bulging at the seams with growth in every age group. It was just incredible. God has truly continued to bless His church. Now He's calling us to step out in faith and trust in His plan. And He is proving His faithfulness time and time again, hadn't He? As I was reading our Building by Faith devotional, most of you are doing this as well, I got to day 17. This was the day after Paul had asked me to pray in the service, and the topic was Building by Faith, Purpose, Vision, Generosity through Listening. And by the way, a lot of you guys out there like me, my wife reminds me all the time, I'm not the best listener. But nevertheless, that day's scripture is about listening, and it's from Psalms chapter 16, verse 7. And it really spoke to me, and I want to use that as our scripture this morning. And it says, I will praise the Lord who counsels me, even at night, my heart instructs me. You know, He speaks to us through our hearts a lot of times. And I believe that God is indeed calling and instructing us, His church, to listen as He reminds us, to listen good as He reminds us of His faithfulness. Not only to First Baptist Church, but to each one here and all of our families. And if we truly listen, He will reveal the part He is calling us to play in His great and perfect plan in building by faith. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your faithfulness to First Baptist Church and the mission You have for us as part of Your church in this place. The needs of our community and the hurting world around us are our call for action. As Your followers, fill us with Your Holy Spirit that we may truly seek You. Open our ears and our hearts that we may truly listen and hear from You as You reveal exactly what You are calling us to give in support of the Building by Faith initiative. We praise You for the growth of Your ministry in and through this church. May we respond faithfully to Your call, even as You have been faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mark Sheffer. And appreciate all those from our children, our youth, our middle-aged adults, senior adults, all a part of our church family that have helped us when it comes to thinking about building by faith and the scripture and guidance and prayer as far as what we're doing, as far as our church is concerned. We're glad that you're here, all of you that are guests. Glad that the Lord has led you to First Baptist Church. Let's all take a few moments, stand up, walk around, welcome our friends. Glad you're here today.
Thank you.
Amen. The great thing about spiritual songs and hymns is they're like prayers. The first two songs that we've sung are prayers of praise unto the Lord, bringing glory to His holy name. And our next one is to ask God to strengthen us, to consecrate us, and to set us apart for His work and for His calling, that our life would be His, and His would be in us. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Hymn number 597. We'll take my life, take my hands, voice, our treasure, our silver and gold, and our love and our will, all given to the Lord. Offertory hymn. It's hymn number 139. It's got three stanzas, so you just remain seated until the last, and we'll sing this together and we'll receive our morning offering. Great is Thy faithfulness. Hymn number 139.
There is no shadow of turning. morning. Would you join me with prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for your faithfulness, all you've done for each and every one of us, all you've done for us as a country, as a community, and as a church. And we just can't say enough thanks to you. And now as we come to this part of the service when we can give back just a bit of what you've so graciously given to each and every one of us, we pray that we would be good stewards and use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your work. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the source, the author, and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured a cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, choir, Ken, Karen, Monica, leading us as we worship, and I'm so thankful for that. I also want to thank last Sunday, Warren and Paul filling in for me as I was gone to my annual trip with my old college friends, fraternity brothers. There's about 12 of us in our group, and one of the trips that we do every year is we go to Sugar Mountain, North Carolina, where one of our guys has a house. And so we have a lot of fun and gone last week for that annual trip. So thanks, Paul. Thanks, Warren, filling in for me while I was gone. Also want to say thanks to our security team. We had a big day last Sunday. I mean, we had a big, big, big day. I have been on the phone all week long with pastors and security details and security teams from other churches wanting to know what all happened, what went down, what happened here. Here's what I can say. All of the law enforcement, FBI and local police said to me, your security detail handled that perfectly. I mean, not good, but absolutely perfect. Perfect last Sunday. So that is really strong. That is good to know. That gives me a sense of security, knowing that we have a security detail that really they're not just a bunch of guys in our church that don't want to have to come and listen to the sermon. That's part of it, yes. Let's not kid ourselves. That's a strong part of it. But they really take their position seriously. And they were on it, y'all. They were absolutely on it. And I am so grateful and so thankful for those guys. So last Monday, I was saying this in the early worship, last Monday, I got into the church office, and so I saw Paul. Paul comes walking in, and I look at Paul, and I say, Paul, I leave you in charge one Sunday, just one Sunday. And it just falls apart like a cheap suit. So thanks to everybody who handled that very, very, very well last Sunday. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6, 17, 18, and 19. So Paul writes to his two letters to his friend Timothy. All right, Timothy is like his son in the faith. So he writes these letters, and the idea of writing these letters is that Timothy will then communicate this to the body of Christ, to the church, so us. And in chapter 6, Paul is giving Timothy some final instructions. And so one of the things that he says right at the very end of these final instructions is he tells Timothy, tell the church, the body of Christ, this is how one of the ways that they need to handle the money that God has so generously blessed them with. So today we're going to finish our stewardship emphasis. We're not going to finish building by faith, but we will finish today talking about stewardship. Next Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to pivot, and we're going to talk about vision. So building by faith, purpose, vision, and generosity. So we've spent the last several Sundays talking about stewardship. We don't do an annual stewardship emphasis at First Baptist Church. So we just simply allow the Lord to guide us. And when we have something like building by faith, then that's what we do. We have a stewardship emphasis, and we'll talk about stewardship. We might not have another stewardship emphasis for 3 years, 5 years. Whenever the Lord guides us and leads us to talk about stewardship, we do. We don't do that every single year. And so it was time for us to deal with that, because we're going to be talking. So what we're talking about is in building by faith, how are we going to fund the vision that God is giving to us? But next week we'll talk about vision. All right, so let me ask you a question. Imagine that all of a sudden, tomorrow, you inherited or somehow received a ton of money. I mean a ton of money. We have all kinds of economic in this church. Some that can't get to their next paycheck and some that have millions and millions of dollars. So for some of us, it would be $50 million. Let's just say you got $50 million. For some people, it would be $1 million. All right, so whatever it is for you, let's just say all of a sudden tomorrow, you just got this enormous amount of money that was just in it, you inherited it, or it was given to you. What do you do with, how do you steward, manage your newfound wealth? All right, so what do? Well, there are many things people do with money, all right? We don't have time to go through all that. For our purposes today and for this passage of Scripture, let's think about three things. You can spend it all. I love the interview that I watched with Shaquille O'Neal. Y'all know who Shaq, his name, he goes by Shaq. Shaq is a former retired NBA basketball player, probably one of the greatest centers in NBA history. And so I saw this interview with Shaq several years ago, and in this interview, he was talking about money and finances. And he said, I wasn't born and raised with money. So I got my first big paycheck. And he said, you know what I did? He said, now this is back in the 90s, and I don't know how much that would be worth today. But he said, I went and spent $1 million in one day. One day. And after that day was over with, I was broke again. And I realized, I can't do this. So he went and found some help. And those mentors of his, financial mentors, really guided him and directed him. And he is worth millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. You'll see him on commercial after commercial after commercial on the TNT NBA with Charles Barkley. I mean, so he's worth millions of dollars. But somebody taught him how to handle money and that you can't go spend $1 million every single day. So what do? Do you just spend it all? Or do you save it for future concerns? Y'all, I know people who are worth millions of dollars. Millions. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not talking about a million. I'm talking about millions stacked on top of each other. And they're going to live today like they've got $25.72 in their bank account. Literally. They're worth millions. Scared absolutely out of their minds that something bad's going to happen. And I got to have all this money. So you've got Shaq spending $1 million in one day. Then you've got people that have got millions of dollars and literally, they're going to drive through Wendy's today because they can't spend any more money than the $25 than they got in their account. I mean, you know, so what do? Do you save it all for the future? What do? Or you give it all away? I met a guy one time, and I only met him one time, but his pastor was telling me that this guy had a desire to spend or to live on 10% and to give away 90%. He spent the last 15 years of his life living on 10%. He did it the exact opposite that most of us do. He lived on 10% and he gave away 90%, and he did that for 15 years, the last 15 years of life. So what do? Do you just give it all away? Well, Paul addresses all of these issues in Scripture. This is not just some guy standing up here kind of giving you advice. This is scriptural truth, starting in verse 17, chapter 6. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money. Why? Because it's so unreliable. Well, we know that. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need. For what? For our enjoyment. God gives us and blesses us with financial gifts for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generosity. To those who are in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, then they will be storing up treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience what? True life. James Neuheiser writes, first, wise stewards are generous. Paul says those who are rich to use their money to do good. Giving is an act of faith by which we trust that the benefit of storing up treasure in heaven surpasses the earthly security or pleasure that we might have if we kept our resources for ourselves. Second, wise stewards enjoy God's material gifts. God has blessed you, blessed me for our enjoyment. So we shouldn't have this attitude of, I shouldn't enjoy this. No, God wants us to. He has blessed us for that reason of enjoying. Paul acknowledges that God richly gives us what we need for our enjoyment. Yes, Scripture warns against extravagance. We know that. Those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury, they'll never be rich. Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected. That took me a long time to figure that out. You know why? Because I grew up Baptist. You're not supposed to enjoy anything. I grew up Baptist. I grew up in that day and time when this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. It was all about don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. It was the five things that you aren't supposed to do. Don't do those things. That's how I grew up. And it took me a long time to realize that nothing is to be rejected. It's all created by God. That's not sin. That's not sin. That's not sin. That's not sin. What we do with it can become sin. Yes. So it took me a while to get to that point. What sets us apart from the world is that we are God-centered in our enjoyment of material blessings. Yes. God's people recognize that every good gift comes from Him and that we are to enjoy the blessings with gratitude. Third, wise stewards prepare for the future. Paul assumes that after being generous and enjoying the benefits of their productivity, the rich will still be rich. Stored wealth can serve many important purposes, including what I will say, preparing our church for 30, 40, 50 years as far as the future is concerned. Stewarding wealth brings both responsibility and freedom. So we talked about that about two or three weeks ago. I quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, where Paul is coming to the end of this argument. Really, it's an argument about freedom. Meat that has first been offered to a pagan idol. And he comes to the end of this argument after talking about freedom and responsibility, and he says, all right, look, here's the deal. Whatever you decide to do, whether you eat or drink or whether you don't eat or drink, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to do, just make sure you're doing it all for the glory of God. And from that, a mentor of mine taught me, Joel, if you're going to do this thing called pastoring, you need to understand responsible freedom. And he taught me that, and I learned that young, and I'm so thankful that I did. Y'all, I'm free. I am free in Jesus. Nothing is bad. It's all good. God has created it all. And it's all for my enjoyment. I am free in Christ Jesus. I am no longer bound to any of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant laws. Those are guidance for me, yes. But I'm not bound to that. I am free in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, I have been preaching that since the day I started preaching. Pharisees do not like me. Because not only do I preach freedom in Christ Jesus, but I have a good time doing it. I enjoy my freedom that comes in Christ Jesus. You're free, Joel, you're free. And that's the truth when it comes to money as well. That money is the same thing. You're free. You're no longer bound to the old covenant law when it comes to all of the tithe. You're free. We're free. And with my freedom comes responsibility. I pointed out several people today. I am responsible to Buddy Bunch as a brother in Christ. I am responsible to Brian Harrell as a brother in Christ. I am responsible to Carla Terrell as a sister and brother in Christ. I am responsible to you. You are responsible to me. I'm a part of this thing called the body of Christ. I am free, and I'm also responsible in my freedom. The truth is the same when it comes to money. Why does Paul not specifically give out percentages? Tithe this percent. Above and beyond the tithe, give this percent. Why does he not give out percentages? I'm that guy that would wish that he had. Wouldn't that be just easy to stand up here and preach this? All right, Paul says, this is your percentage tithe. This is your percentage above and beyond the tithe. Wouldn't that be easy? That would be a 2-minute sermon. Y'all would love that. I would love preaching it. Just tell me what to do, Paul, and I'll do it. Now, Janice would disagree with that. You know, she tells me what to do all the time, and I very rarely do it. But that's not the point. Point is, I wish that there were percentages, but there's not. Why? Because we're free. So Paul doesn't give us percentages. Why? Because every single person in here, every family, your situation is unique to you and to your family. And you have to decide in your heart what God wants you to do. Stewardship begins where? It begins in the heart. What does Jesus say? Do not store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store for yourselves treasure in heaven where wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, your heart will be. Jesus would say, Joel, I know exactly what you treasure. How, Jesus? Because I'm the only one that can search your heart. Ow, that burns. That stings. Man, that hurts. And so Jesus tells us, I mean, Jesus deals with the issue of money. That's probably the number one subject matter that Jesus deals with. Why? Because Jesus knows, no matter what generation, no matter what culture, that money is going to reveal our heart. And he says, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We value the Lord more highly than his material gifts because he is more satisfying than all the money in the world. So money is at the heart of the issue. It always is, whether you're rich or whether you're poor. Whether we have much or little, we are to live appropriately. And so God does not provide that for hoarding. God provides wealth for sharing, for generosity to advance his kingdom. Now, most of us will never, ever, ever know what it's like to have millions of dollars to allocate among giving and spending and saving. Some will just struggle to make it to the next paycheck. So the Bible teaches us many things about being wise stewards. Once again, Neuheiser says, first, wise stewards work hard and smart. Second, wise stewards budget. Second, third, wise stewards avoid debt. Fourth, wise stewards prepare for the future. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. So we owed an infinite debt. A debt of sin that has been imputed, given to Jesus. He bought that for us, but he not only paid off our debt. Gosh, this is the beauty of the gospel. He not only paid off our debt so that when I pass from this life to the next, I will spend eternity in heaven. Not only did he do that, but he also did that so that we could be spiritually rich because of his imputed righteousness. Therefore, you're rich. For those of you that know Christ as Savior and Lord, you're rich, you're free. Live rich, live free. And those of us who understand that biblically, we should gratefully steward all of the material things and wealth that God has given to us for his honor and for his glory. Once again, church, we've got a big vision. We do. We've got a big vision. But I said this morning in early worship, this is not what typically happens. This is not a vision that was created by a fly by the seat of his pants pastor. And all of a sudden, I've decided this is what I want to do, and I'm going to force this down First Baptist Church's throat. No, Bob, no stretch of the imagination. The long-range planning committee, the deacons, the leaders, the staff, we've been working on this thing for 2 years almost. No, not almost. We've been working on this for 2 years. So we finally come to this point where we're now bringing it out in the open and talking about building by faith and this vision that God is getting. And it's a big vision, huge vision, a great vision, a vision that we think is going to take us into the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. We could do nothing and save our money. But I don't think that's what we want to do. We can fulfill this vision that God is giving to us and be wise stewards of all of the blessings that God has so generously given to us. And why would we do that? Because we want to know Christ and we want to make Him known to the world that we live in. Father, thank You for that gift that You're giving to us, the gift of a vision that will take us into the next 20, 30, 40, even 50 years from now. So, Father, we pray for guidance and direction. That's what we've been praying for a couple of years now. Guidance and direction when it comes to this truth and this vision. You have purchased our debt. All of it. We don't owe one penny. You took it all. We're free. The chains have been removed. The door has been open. And we walk out free. And that is the beauty of the gospel. Now, in turn, how can we tell other poor beggars where we found our bread? How do we then go out into this world and say, hey, He's the one that gave me my freedom? How do we shine that light in darkness? And there's a lot of ways we do that, but one of the ways that we want to do that is we want First Baptist Church Gunnersville to be just as relevant 50 years from now as we are today. So guide us and direct us. We thank You for that truth, Father. Thank You for the gift of life that has been given to us. May we share that gift with the world that needs it desperately. In Christ we pray. Amen. Living for Jesus is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you to do that. We encourage that today. If you need to come and join our church, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.